You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk about how to help young men mature in their faith. That's right. We want to help Gen Z men grow and mature. And we're in the middle of a series on forgiveness, and we're talking about the importance of forgiveness. In fact, last time I reminded you, young men, that you need forgiveness more than you need anything. Now, I know some of you as young men have been sinned against many times in your life. You may not have a good role model as a father. You may have been a victim of some horrible circumstance. You may have never been taught about the importance of forgiving. And that's why I wanted to take some time and teach us today about forgiveness. We started last time looking at a very important question that Peter asked Jesus: how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said, no, as many as 70 times 7. And the whole point is we keep forgiving again and again and again because that's what Christians do. Christians keep forgiving others even as we've been forgiven. And so then Jesus jumped right into a parable teaching about a king who had 2 servants. The first servant owed him 10,000 talents, which in today's currency is $8 billion. The king chose to forgive him that debt because he pleaded with him. And then the first servant went out and found the second servant who only owed him 100 denarii, which in today's currency is about $20,000. And that first servant who had been forgiven a great debt was not willing to forgive the second servant who owed him a much smaller debt. And at the end of the last show, I was giving you the application, which is simply this: God is the king. You and I are not like the second servant who owes just a little bitty debt, but we are like the first servant who owes God everything, and yet we could never pay him back. And aren't you grateful that we can't? Salvation is not something that you can buy. Salvation is not something that you earn. Salvation is something offered by the mercy of God to every repentant sinner. And so in this parable, if you imagine yourself as more of the first servant who's been forgiven a great debt, here's what happens. We go out in life, and guess what? We find people who've sinned against us, and it hurts. $20,000 hurts. So when someone sins against you, it's not easy to forgive them. And so in the parable, the first servant would not forgive the second servant. Everybody heard about it, reported to his master. His master brought him back in, and he said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have also had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" Here's the point of the parable: forgiven people forgive. That's right. If you've truly been forgiven, you will forgive others. I mean, there's really no option here to any other way to handle the situation, because what happened at the end of the parable is it says, "And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay back his debt." In the NASB translation, it says that he would be tortured until he paid it back. This is a picture of how if you don't forgive others, it may be that you've never really been forgiven. Because here's how Jesus ends the parable, very last verse of Matthew 18, verse 35. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." And so we're seeing here that God expects us to forgive from our hearts. And if you don't, then you're just like the first servant in this parable. Remember, it's not teaching that you can somehow lose your salvation. It's teaching that you may have never really had salvation. According to what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here's what he's saying. Again, forgiven people forgive. And so I want to teach you now a very practical application of this passage. We had a question about forgiveness. We've now unpacked the parable on forgiveness. And this third truth on forgiveness is a way to practice forgiveness. Let me give you three biblical rules for forgiveness. I mean, the question, again, we're asking is, how do you know if you've ever really forgiven somebody from your heart? Here's three simple rules. Number one, if you've really forgiven somebody from your heart, you would never bring it up again. That's right. You would never bring it up to that person in a negative, derogatory way again. Why? Because you forgave them. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Another way to translate that last part, it's not irritable or resentful, is in the NIV, love keeps no record of wrongs. Or in the NASB, love does not keep an account of wrongdoing. So it's not resentful, right? So if you've really forgiven that person from your heart, you never bring it up to them again. I heard a story about a pastor who was counseling a troubled marriage in his church. And when the husband and wife came in to get counseling, you could tell right when they walked in the pastor's office, they were fed up with each other. The woman sat on this side, the husband sat on the other side. They had their backs half turned to each other and their arms crossed. And the pastor said, "What seems to be the problem?" And the wife took a notebook out of her purse and tossed it on the pastor's desk. And she said, "There it is, Pastor." And he said, "There's what?" And she said, "Well, there's a book, there's a record of all the times my husband has sinned against me. Go ahead, read it." So the pastor started thumbing through the notebook, and there were some horrible things that this husband had done and said. So he looked at the husband and he said, Did you say this?" And the husband's like, "Yeah, I said that." The pastor looked at the husband and said, Did you do this?" And the husband said, "Yeah, I did that. I'm guilty of all those things, Pastor." The pastor looked at the husband, looked at the wife, and then he said to the wife, "I think we're going to start with you." Point being, he could tell the husband was at least semi-willing to acknowledge his faults, but the wife was a little bit proud and pious and was keeping a record of all of the wrongs of the husband. Again, I'm not saying the husband wasn't wrong for doing what he did, but I'm saying that that pastor probably had some wisdom to say, "I think we're going to start with you," to the wife, because she was keeping a record of wrongs. And the first rule, again, of biblical forgiveness is to never bring it up again. If you've really forgiven that person, then you're not going to bring it up again tomorrow or the next day or where you're in a future fight. You know, the temptation is to reach back into the past and say, "Yeah, well, at least I didn't do this or I didn't do that." Well, if that's you, then it may be that you're really struggling with what it means to really forgive. Remember, forgiven people forgive. And if you've really been forgiven, then number one, you would never bring it up to that person again. And I'm talking about in a negative, derogatory kind of way. Second rule in biblical forgiveness would be this. Number two, never bring it up to others again. So the first one is don't bring it up to that person again. The second is don't bring it up to others again. You could jot down Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Paul writes here, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." In other words, we are to keep forgiving and we don't need to be talking about it with others, right? And in fact, a little bit earlier in Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building up others." So the point being here again is that you don't want to talk about it with others, causing anger and clamor and slander, the way that you gossip and slander with others. That's to all be put aside. if you've really, really forgiven that person from your heart, you're to never bring it up to others again. That leads us to a third rule of biblical forgiveness. The hardest one for me, for sure, would be number three, never dwell on it again. So number one, don't bring it up again to that person. Number two, don't bring it up to others. Number three, never dwell on it again. Surely you're familiar with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Dwell on these things. So you're to dwell on the character of God, whatever is true and honorable and just. You're not to keep dwelling on past hurt, past sin. Instead, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. So if you've really forgiven that person, you got to stop thinking about it. Now, again, that's not easy because our memories don't go away, but you can choose not to remember. In other words, you can choose not to focus on it. So when you come back after the break, we're going to continue to dive in some practical ways you can apply these three rules of forgiveness.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. But you know, as he speaks about forgiveness today and what that looks like played out in our lives, it reminds me of John Krotz, Dr. John Krotz, and his podcast, Integrated. Here's the deal. How many of us know theology, love theology, but actually struggle with living it out? That's what Dr. John Krotz does with Integrated. He helps bridge that gap between head knowledge and actual application in your life. Trust me, this is not just another Try Harder podcast. It's about actually making the Bible invade every corner of your life. You can find it on the Fortis Plus app or wherever you get your podcast. And speaking of life transformation, I want to tell you something exciting that's happening at the Master's University right now. It's their new entrepreneurship program. Oh, it's not your typical business degree. These students are literally pitching their startups to real investors. Talk about putting stuff into action. And get this, they've got the Steadfast Scholarship that covers 100% of tuition. It's a pretty incredible way to prepare for your future while staying grounded in biblical truth. It's the Master's University. You can find out more about all that's going on at the Master's University by going to masters.edu/manhood. And you know, we all feel overwhelmed by the chaos that's been happening in our world the last several years. That's why Fortis Institute exists now. We've brought in 8 new theologically sound voices right alongside of Todd to help you navigate this brave new world that we're living in. And you can get access to all of the content that's being created at Fortis Plus. FortisPlus.org. It's absolutely free. You can actually download the app to your mobile device. It's all free of charge. I'm talking about daily video content and podcasts on everything from marriage to theology and incredible hot takes from our fellows that will make you think differently about current events. FortisPlus.org. And here's where it gets really exciting. If you sign up to become a Fortis Insider, which is also free, we'll send you an email to remind you about the daily content uploads that are happening. Pretty sweet deal. It's absolutely free. Sign up for it right now at FortisInstitute.org. But here's where things get really exciting. And I mean really exciting. We're inviting you to become a part of something bigger than yourself. If you're in a pretty good place in your life right now, if you're giving faithfully to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, I want to invite you to join us on this mission as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the information right now at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues to talk about forgiveness. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we've been talking for a couple of shows about the importance of forgiveness. You need forgiveness more than you need anything. And in the parable that Jesus taught, he taught that we've been forgiven 10,000 talents. And then if we've been forgiven 10,000 talents, then certainly we can learn to forgive that person who sinned against us by 100 denarii. That's $8 billion versus $20,000. And so I've been asking the question, have you really forgiven your neighbor? Because if you don't forgive your brother from your heart, Jesus said at the end of the parable in Matthew 18, verse 35, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. So how do you know if you've really forgiven your brother from your heart? Three rules of biblical forgiveness. Number one, never bring it up again. Number two, never bring it up to others again. And number three, never dwell on it again. And my friends, if you can apply those three principles of Scripture, then you can really forgive that other person. Now, let's talk about this practically. You know, the ideal way that forgiveness would work would be if you've sinned against somebody, you would go to them and ask them to forgive you. So if I were to sin against my wife, let's say I get home one day and I'm grouchy and I'm whiny and complaining about a bad day I had at work. And so I get home and I'm starting to talk to my wife and I'm short with her and I'm cutting her off in her sentences. And she says, honey, what's the matter? And I say, oh, honey, I'm sorry. I just had a really bad day at work. I'm just really tired and I'm hungry. Would that be a good excuse for my behavior? And the answer is no. That's blame shifting, right? I'm blame shifting other circumstances and putting them now against my wife. What I should do is confess it more like this. Hey, honey, please forgive me for being angry at you. I am so filled with pride and with selfishness. And I had a rough day at work, but that had nothing to do with you, honey, and I've not been treating you correctly. In fact, I've been harsh with you with my words. Would you please forgive me? Now, which one of those confessions is better, right? The first one where I just made excuses about being tired and had a rough day, or the second one where I named the sin by name. I was angry. I was selfish. Would you please forgive me for using harsh words? That one is the better confession. I mean, I've just found that you got to teach people how to ask for forgiveness. I mean, sometimes people just say, oh, I'm sorry. So they make an apology. And in today's world, that's the normal way people try to make it right. They make an apology. And I like to say that saying I'm sorry is simply the first step, because forgiveness is more. Repentance, granting forgiveness to someone else when they repent, it's more than just saying I'm sorry. It's asking for forgiveness. And so I try to teach my counselees, I try to teach my own kids, hey, you need to ask and grant forgiveness. So what you need to do is say, please forgive me for being angry at you, or from stealing something from you, or from speaking harsh words to you. And then the other person needs to be able to forgive them. Now, if you can do that, then you've accomplished the biblical principles, really, of forgiveness. And you got to keep in mind, that's how God forgives us. God forgives us in a way that he never holds it back from us again. I mean, 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what we want to do is learn how to ask for and then grant forgiveness. Now, for the other party, let's say you ask for forgiveness and the other party says something like, oh, well, don't worry about it, or that's no big deal. I would say, well, that's not good enough. The other party needs to say, I forgive you. If they can't say, I forgive you, then maybe they haven't yet released the debt. And if they haven't released the debt, then they're holding it against you. And if they're holding it against you, then it's like building a prison of their own bitterness and their own anger. And now that second person is at fault. I mean, I hear this all the time, right? Let's say a husband and wife come in for counseling. Let's say the husband did something really bad and the wife says something like, oh, I could never forgive you for that. And when I hear that, I always caution the wife, like really? You could never forgive them for that? Listen, I don't care what they've done. You've got to be able to forgive your husband. Or if you're a Gen Z young man today and you're like, I could never forgive my father for abandoning me, for not being there for me, or for some other bully at work or at school, I could never forgive him. Oh, be careful, because if you say I could never forgive them, then that's like saying that forgiveness doesn't work in some situations. And so let me just clarify this a little bit more. Jesus on the cross had people who sinned against him in terrible ways, right? They accused him of things he never did. They flogged him and beat him and crucified him. And yet one of the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross was simply, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I'm saying that if someone comes and asks for forgiveness, that's the easiest way for you to say, I forgive you. And you can't say, well, I could never forgive you for that. You have to place yourself at the foot of the cross. You have to realize that you are a 10,000 talent sinner and that you've sinned against God in ways that you could never repay him. And yet he forgave you. And if he forgave you, he's calling you now to forgive others. And the point I'm trying to make here is whether they ask for it or not. I mean, if they ask for it, should make it pretty clear, because we're obligated to forgive others even as we've been forgiven in Christ. In fact, if you don't forgive them, then remember again that passage out of Matthew chapter 6, if you don't forgive your brother their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. And let me tell you, if God's not forgiving you of your trespasses, it means that you're going to hell. So unforgiveness is an unrepentant sin until you forgive them. And then you repent of your unforgiveness and you forgive the person for what they did to you. And there still should be accountability, and there should still be some authorities from the church involved and help and counseling and accountability and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, in your heart, you have to forgive that person. In fact, let me give you five different passages of scripture that talks about how we're commanded to obey. The first is, God commands us to forgive others out of Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So God commands us to forgive others. Not only that, but sin requires forgiveness if reconciliation is to occur. And I'm thinking about Philemon. It's only one chapter in verse 7. Paul says, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And then it says in verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. That's the story about how Paul was challenging Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And he's telling him, you got to forgive him, Onesimus. You can't continue to hold this against him. So that's another passage you could turn to. Another passage would just simply be the reminder that it is the fruit of every born-again Christian to forgive. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. 1 John 1:9, again, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So again, lots of passages of scripture about the importance of forgiveness. Another principle would be that forgiveness is a way to evangelize. Forgiveness is a way to evangelize. I'm thinking about Jesus when he was crucified after the end of that gruesome day. It says in Matthew 27, verse 54, when the centurion and those who were with him kept watch over Jesus and saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. So we see there that when the centurion saw Jesus having a spirit of forgiveness towards those who crucified him, he said, surely this was the Son of God. He'd never seen anything like that. And when people see you forgiving others, it may be that they see Christ in you. One more word about this is that forgiveness restores us in a close and intimate relationship with God. Remember Psalm 32? David said, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So when you sin, you don't lose your relationship with God, but you lose some closeness in your relationship with God. And that's why it's so important to confess your sin to God. Well, the same thing works with other people. You don't lose the relationship with others. You shouldn't, not if you're married, not if they're family, not if they're another Christian. We're supposed to still have fellowship together with them, but you have to forgive them. And if they ask for it, makes it so much easier. If they don't ask for it, then you forgive them in your heart. You have a spirit of forgiveness toward them. Now, just one more quick word here. You cannot forgive yourself. That seems to be such a common thing in our society today, is that you first got to learn to forgive yourself. Listen, you can't forgive yourself. You can ask for forgiveness and ask God to forgive you. And according to 1 John 1:9, he does. But you can't forgive yourself. Instead, I would say, receive the forgiveness that God offers through Christ and then move on in your life in a way that you could live a lifestyle of forgiveness. So young man, if you're struggling with forgiveness today, I pray that you would take to heart Matthew 18 and you would consider this parable that you're a 10,000 talent sinner and that you are called to forgive those who've sinned against you a far lesser debt. May God grant you, no matter what situation you're in today, the ability to forgive others as you've been forgiven in Christ.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.